Our readings this morning is from Isaiah chapter 50, where we will read just from verse 4 to verse 7, and then from the Gospel according to John from chapter 12, where we will read from verse 12. Isaiah chapter 50, from verse 4, and then John chapter 12, from verse 12. Sorry, little Jolene. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful gift of your word you've given us. Lord, this morning as we spend time in reading this word and listening to the words that we get from this word, Father, we pray that these words will truly be embedded in your hearts. That, Lord, that what we live and do will find root in the words that you've given us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, the Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. Now turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 12, where we will read from verse 12. The heading of this passage is the triumphal entry. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him had continued to spread the word that he had called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. Many people, because they had heard that he had given his miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Look how the whole world has gone after him." May the words of the Lord be a blessing to us all. I've named my message this morning, and Carol will put it up shortly for us, "Look, the whole world has gone after him." The whole world has gone after him. The whole world was cheering and welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, or so it might have seemed, especially to the Pharisees. The whole of Jerusalem at least, and those who came there for a feast, the Passover feast, they were all shouting and bringing Jesus in Jerusalem. And so it seemed to the Pharisees that the whole world has gone after Jesus. The whole world followed Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing if you can say that today? The whole world is following Jesus. Palm Sunday on that morning was an awesome day. Just like today is such an awesome day. We are all happy. We are all We're also happy to have the children with us and have the children share a bit of this experience with us this morning. The children are happy outside. You will hear the noises of joy as they find the Easter eggs that's been hidden in the garden. And it's a lovely morning. After this, we're going to go outside in this beautiful sunshine morning. After we feel so blessed with all the rain we had. Are we going to put a piece of meat on a fire and braai a bit and keir a bit together? Not keir too much in a bottle, I hope, but just keir a bit together. And it's going to be a joyful and a blessed day as we spend time together. Palm Sunday is generally a day filled with a heap of fun. Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago or so was also a day filled with a heap of fun. People were happy. The Savior came to Jerusalem. It was as if all the teachings of Jesus and all his miracles and all the healings they saw, all the wonders they've experienced, just a few days before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, as if all this had happened, somehow opened the eyes of the people. And thousands of them were shouting, and they were cheering Jesus into Jerusalem. And they were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And so, in their happiness, they wanted to make this man their king. They wanted to crown Jesus as the King of Israel. They want him as their king. The people of Jerusalem were happy. And it reminds me of my dear mother. When I was little, okay, I'm still little. But when I was a little boy, okay, I'm still a boy. But when I was a little boy, my mom used to read stories to me at night before I went to bed from our children's Bible. And I used to remember those pictures. And the pictures in this children's Bible used to fascinate me. And I loved the stories. I just enjoyed these stories. And one of the stories I can still remember from that time is this story. The story of Jesus entering triumphantly into Jerusalem. And I can remember how happy the people were in a picture of that old children's Bible which my mom used to read out of. And I've actually got a picture there. Carol will put it on for us. That comes from a children's Bible. You see how they put in cloves and palm leaves as Jesus enters. But you can also see they were all smiling. They were all happy. There's no sad face there. I've got a close-up. Carol, you put up the next picture for us. Thank you. Look at those guys. They were laughing, you could see down their throats. They were so happy, waving, putting down palm leaves. These people on Palm Sunday were all smiling, all laughing. They were all happy. But I can also remember some other pictures from this old children's Bible. And I can remember a picture of the people standing at the trial of Jesus. Carol, you put up the next picture for us. And I see the faces of the people at the trial of Jesus. And those are not happy faces. In fact, if you look at their eyes, they are all angry. It's angry faces. The people at the trial of Jesus was all but happy. Their faces showed the anger that was inside of them. And the thing was that they were not, this wasn't a different group of people. These were mostly the very same people who a few days before cheered Jesus into Jerusalem. The same people who were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The same people who were shouting, "Blessed is the King of Israel." Now, a few days later, they were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" They were the very same people who wanted to crown Jesus as their king. Now, these people want Jesus to die on a cross. They want to kill him in a terrible manner. What has happened? What has happened in a little bit less than a week's time? What has happened to those people who first wanted to make Jesus their king, that turned them that now they wanted to kill him? What has changed for them? What will change the happy mood we feel today to the sad mood that we'll find ourselves in on Friday? And a mood of anger that these people found themselves in almost 2,000 years ago. Why did these people, why did their happiness turn into anger? Why, when it looked like the whole world has gone after Jesus a few days before, were only a few of his followers mourning his death on Friday afternoon? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever wondered why this happened? Well, yes, we know Jesus had to suffer for the sin of this world, and he had to die for it. But it's still strange to me that a mood of these masses of people could change so much in so few days. And Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. Isaiah said this of him. He said, "The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears." The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. And he said about Jesus, "I've not been rebellious. I've not turned away." This is what Jesus has not done. He's not been rebellious, not turned away. Jesus was the one without sin. Jesus was the one who was obedient to God to the letter, to the end. Jesus was the one who did not rebel against God. And he never turned away from God. Even in his darkest hour, he still clung to his God. These people in the crowd, somehow, even after they've seen and heard all that Jesus did, somehow they still did not fully understand who Jesus was. And their rebellion on Good Friday sent Jesus to his death. And they turned away from God who revealed himself to men. When Jesus returned to Jerusalem in the week before Passover, he had a very busy week. A week that would see him go from hero to zero. A week where the people one day wanted him to be their king and a few days later wanted him dead. And this week started for Jesus with his entry into Jerusalem, an entry fit for a king. And then the next day, on the Monday of Holy Week, after Jesus spent some time in the temple and he saw the shameful practices that was carried out in the temple, Jesus cleaned the temple out. He chased all those people selling and all those people doing all the evil stuff in the temple. He chased them out. He cleanses the temple. And John also recorded how Jesus then rebukes the unbelieving crowd. John quotes Isaiah 6 verse 10 when he's saying, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn and I would heal them." That's what was happening in the crowds and in the temple of God. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, John gives us the reason for this. He said, "Yet at the same time, many, even amongst the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For the love human praises more than the praise from God." And we're starting to see what a mood of the crowd could change so much. Already the cracks were starting to show. Jesus, who was full of the truth of God, was preaching hard stuff for his people to listen to. The crowds, who were so joyously shouting for him when he entered, were starting to feel the teaching of Jesus at their pumps. The religious folk were having difficulty in digesting his teaching. And the Pharisees were making their plans. So on Tuesday morning of Holy Week, the leaders of the temple, after all they were God's people, they were confronting Jesus about his deeds and his teachings of the day before. And then now we're questioning his authority. If you come here and you do this stuff, on whose authority are you doing it? They were asking him. But not only did this happen, Jesus also used this Tuesday, and Jesus did a lot more teaching. And he used parables amongst the things he teach with. You'll remember, he taught using the parable of a vineyard. He taught using the parable of the wedding banquet. And then he was teaching on paying of taxes when the Pharisees tried to catch him out. On this day, Tuesday, Jesus also rebuked the Sadducees for denying the resurrection. Remember, they didn't believe in death, life after death. And so they would say, how can someone be resurrected? And Jesus rebukes them. But on this day, Holy Tuesday, Jesus also made this very fearful prophecy that the temple and the Jerusalem, the city, if the inhabitants of Jerusalem did not come to faith, that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. He warned them of the temple, that not a stone will be left on another. And by now the people of Jerusalem must have been thinking, what were we thinking when we were thinking of making this man our king? What were we thinking when we wanted to crown this man as our king? He's not preaching anything to make us feel better about ourselves. He's not telling us that we got to keep on tithing and got to keep on sticking to the law and got to keep on praying fancy prayers. Instead, he's only focusing on our practices and our beliefs. And all he does is he's criticizing us. But Jesus was only speaking the truth. And the truth was starting to get to them. And they no longer want to hear what Jesus was saying or teaching. Instead of listening and applying what Jesus was teaching, they were starting to block the teachings of Jesus, closing their ears so that I could not hear. Then come Holy Wednesday. It's also called Spy Wednesday for some reason, or Silent Wednesday. Spy Wednesday because it was the day that Judas conspired with the religious leaders to hand Jesus over. It was the day on which Judas was paid the 30 pieces of silver. Was also called Silent Wednesday because it's on this day that Jesus spent time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus at their home. It was this day when Jesus was anointed, in a sense even anointed for his burial by Mary. Remember, she poured a jar of oil over his head and Judas complained. He's saying, we could have used this money to buy food for the poor. And Jesus said, you will always have the poor. You will always have the poor. It's a time that Jesus spent with his friends. On Holy Thursday, Jesus knew that his time was near and instructed his disciples on how to prepare for the most holy meal of all. And that evening they shared the Lord's Supper, Jesus and his disciples. And that night, Jesus was betrayed and was arrested. So the mood has changed. And so we come to Good Friday. And the mood of the crowd was changed. Now the people were no longer shouting, Hosanna. They were shouting, crucify him. And Jesus was taken before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, the Roman, who did not even want to persecute him, did not even want to kill him, but who bowed down under the pressure of the temple leaders, sentenced Jesus to death. The mood of the crowd, like your mood I can sense now, has completely shifted from a happy Palm Sunday or to a very angry Good Friday. The whole world on Palm Sunday has gone after him. The whole world who followed him, the whole world who wanted to be with Jesus on Palm Sunday, have now gone against him. They went for him. They want to go and kill him. But the death of Jesus was on the cart even before he came to Jerusalem. For even when he raised Lazarus from the dead a few days before, the Pharisees already started to plan his death. And the Pharisees saw Jesus as a threat. Jesus was a threat to this lovely religion they were practicing. And they were holding the people of God in captivity in this religious structures of theirs. And when Jesus came to expose this all to them, they were all about saving their way of doing it. When Jesus came with the truth, they rejected the truth and they planned to kill him. The religious leaders of Israel were not interested in hearing the truth. And so the people of Israel were also misled. The religious leaders were busy protecting their pretend religion. And they tried to keep out the truth that Jesus was bringing. You know that the people of Israel hated feared the Romans, but they feared the wrong enemy. Their fear was for the wrong enemy. Their enemy was not the Romans. Pilate didn't even want to kill Jesus. Their enemy was their own temple leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, and their own priests. The people of Israel saw what Jesus did. They saw his wonders, and they were in awe of him, and they would have followed him. But when these teachings of his touched the nerve, they quickly followed those who meant Jesus harm. Instead of heeding to the lessons that Jesus taught them, they wanted him dead. They wanted to shut their ears and shut his mouth so that they could not hear him. And their eyes were closed, and their hearts became as hard as stone. Because how else could they kill someone like Jesus if their hearts weren't like stone? They've seen, they've heard, and they did not believe, because they followed the religious leaders. Many, Jesus told Thomas, who have not seen Jesus, will believe, and they are blessed. Many will believe, Jesus told him, who have not seen or heard any of the wonders I've done. Yet these people who had it all couldn't find it in their hearts to believe Jesus. It reminds me of another story of another Lazarus. You remember the poor one who lied at the gate of the rich man? And when both of them died, Lazarus found himself with Abraham. And the rich man was in Hades, and there was a chasm between them. And when the rich man saw Lazarus with Abraham, he asked Abraham, back with Abraham actually, just please send Lazarus to my family. Send him to warn them. If somebody from the dead will go there and tell them about this place, Hades, they will surely believe. They will surely believe. He begged Abraham to send Lazarus. But Abram's words to him in Luke 16 verse 31 was, he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Jesus is raised from the dead, but people still act if he's not alive, and people still do not believe even though he's been raised from the dead. Many still see today even the miracles and the wonders of Jesus. Many see how he changed the life of people, but yet they still do not believe. And then there are those who should know better, those who are like the religious leaders of Israel, who profess to be God-fearing people, but who are misleading people of God. And the sad thing is, these ones who profess and mislead are ignorant. They think they know Jesus, but they do not know him. They say they do, but their lives and their works prove otherwise. And we have to be careful of them. We must remind ourselves who we follow. We follow Jesus. We don't follow the Protestant way of doing things, or the church's way of doing things, or the Presbyterian way of doing things, or the way things have been done in the past. We follow Jesus and what Jesus reveals to us. And it's difficult to do this. It's difficult to do this. When you follow Jesus, people will criticize you. People will give you a bit of stick. But to give me strength, I find comfort in the words of Isaiah 50 verse 5, and Carol's going to put it up for us. I hang on to these words by the prophet of God. He says, "The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I've not been rebellious. I've." Thank God for Jesus. For without him, we would still be in the claws of people like the temple leaders. We would still be in the claws of those who seek their own glory, to those who imprison others in religion and denies them the freedom that God gives them. If we leave the love of Jesus out of our lives, our hearts will turn to stone. We will not be able to hear God speak to us. And we will not be able to understand or comprehend the teachings of Jesus. And when that happens, we will be like the whitewashed graves in the church, the graves that John speaks of. Beautiful on the outside, but dead inside. Hearts of stone leads to rebellion against God. And every time we stand against the work of God, or speak against it, or stand against those who are involved in the work of God, or stand against those who lead people to the work of God. Every time we do that, we are in fact rebellious against God. This is what happened in a week leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus. The result is that people then turn away from God and Jesus. This was the work of the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They turned the whole world who was following Jesus on Palm Sunday, they turned this whole world against him. And on Good Friday, that same world who followed Jesus killed him and turned away from him. And the result was that Jerusalem and the temple was eventually destroyed by the Romans a few years later. So this morning I want to say to you, don't allow others to come between you and God. They will turn your hearts to stone. Don't turn away from your God. Don't allow this to happen. So what happened with the people from Palm Sunday to Good Friday? Why did their mood change from happiness to death? Evil people happened. Evil people who, if they had cared to listen to Jesus, would have been saved. These evil people, whose choice was not to listen, they happened. When they listened to Jesus, the Pharisees, during that week, they were not listening to learn and understand. They listened to find words in Jesus' mouth to entrap Jesus, so that they could kill him. If they had listened to hear, they might have tasted eternal life. But the sad thing is, not only did they lose their lives, but they also led the crowd away from Jesus. The crowd who saw the work of Jesus and followed him was led astray by these evil people. The people who were planning behind the backs of Jesus. And so they stopped following Jesus. And they follow the evil leaders instead. So be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you trust. Only listen to Jesus. Only trust in him. People will only lead you astray, and it will cause you to turn away from the Lord. And hold on to the words of Isaiah 50 verse 5. Hold on to those words. Say, "My heart, my ears will be open. I will not rebel against God. and I will not turn away from him. Hold on to Jesus with your dear life. Amen. Lord, we thank you that we can come here this morning, Father, and just spend some time listening to your words and your teachings. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would always just reveal to us the truth that we find in you. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be the one that open your ways to us. Father, that we will trust no man or woman in the way we believe or the walk that we walk with you, but we will trust in you, Lord, and that as we trust in you, we will witness to others in what we do and what we receive from you, so that in the way that we witness, they will also know that you live. Father, we just thank you for Palm Sunday. We thank you for the lesson that Palm Sunday brings to us, the lesson that joy can so easily turn into hate. And Lord, we pray that through preparing for Good Friday and Easter Sunday this week, that through our preparation, you would prepare us in a proper way, so that come Easter Sunday, when we celebrate your resurrection, that we will be prepared and not have turned away like so many others have done. Father, we pray this in your name and in the name of your Son. Amen. The collection will now be taken. I'll ask the stewards to just tread carefully that they don't fall over all our clothing.